Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us in another episode of Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is author Kate Cook. How are you today, Kate?
Yeah, I'm really good, actually. It's a beautiful sunny day, so that always lifts the spirits and gives you a lot of vitamin D, so that's the bonus there.
Yeah, it's actually rather nice to have a good weather around this time of year, if I'm not mistaken. Last year, we were not so lucky around the end of May, were we? Yeah, and on that very bright and sunny note, thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast. And of course, Kate is the author of Positive Nutrition, and she is also a nutritionist, international speaker, and food and community activist. So thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast, Kate. Now, very excited to talk about the book, which now everyone can go out and they can buy and find out for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited, actually, as well. I've actually done 7 books, of which this is my 7th book, lucky. Actually, this is the one I'm most proud of. I know it's easy to say that after the event, but I think it's a great format, which is down to LID. It's really quite short, so that's really good. So it's only like 25,000 words, so that is about a centimeter thick. And I think that is really sort of bite-sized chunks to take away. So you're not sort of, you cannot in that time kind of like frame, if you like, delve into the detail. But I think from that, you know, you can get a sort of real template of doing something quickly and conveniently. I really love the format, so thanks, Lid, for inviting me to write it.
Well, it's always our pleasure. And let's get into the book itself and let's talk about it. But firstly, before we do that, you mentioned this isn't actually your first book writing adventure. So can you perhaps tell us what inspired you to become an author and actually start writing in the first place?
Well, do you know what? I'm actually a nutritionist, obviously. That might not be so obvious, but I'm a nutritional therapist, actually. And we're the sort of nutritionists that are like health detectives going into kind of the reasons for ill health. So you're looking at the detail of nutrition, and I'm trying to find out the sort of nuts and bolts of what's going wrong with people's health. And I had a long clinical career, and I saw a lot of patients, about 7,500 patients over a long clinical career. But you know, in that, you're only able to reach a few, well, 7,500 people that way, and influence their health. And you know, in the end, it's all about the patients. And so when you're an author, I think having the patient or the end reader in mind and trying to inspire those people, and through inspiring those people, instigating change in other things, like a big passion, a recent passion of mine is the environment. So choosing to eat better, you start influencing other things as well. So I think just getting through to more people in a less detailed way, so that people can run with a bit of detailed information and go off and change their lives. And it's really satisfying, that. And I don't know. I mean, I love writing. I mean, and being funny and stupid and silly is kind of half of it with me, you know, just having a few cracks and jokes. And, you know, I love doing that, being able to sit down and craft it. And, you know, it's lovely to write, but it's also lovely to see people. So you just need to get the balance as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, being able to insert that level of character and, of course, personality, humor, and those things is also great to go with it. But the topic at hand is actually a very important one. And it's something that I think, you know, in general, health and well-being has been at the forefront of many people's minds and discussions in, you know, recent years.
Yeah, I think the actual sort of, I don't know what you call it, subtitle of the book is called "Is Positive Nutrition Strategic Eating to Upgrade Your Health and Energy?" And the sort of, for me, the strategic eating part of it is also important, because the book gives a bit of a clear structure on in effect a template that you can slot any eating pattern on. You know, a lot of people, especially in the West now, delve into being a vegan, or they delve into being a paleo person or a ketogenic person, and in a way that matters less. You need the structure of what you're doing first, and you get that structure in, and then actually you can be what you like on top of that. And what I find with a lot of nutrition books currently is that they become so militant and so kind of impractical and miss the point about nutrition being about food, that this is all about putting food back at the centre of nutrition and actually being very being a pragmatist. I'm a pragmatist, very pragmatic about how you achieve that. And really, that's what gives me pleasure in this book, if you like, because there are a lot of these books, as I say, around at the moment, which is people, you know, there's one particular book I'm thinking about using no names. And this lady in the book is doing a side plank with like abs that you could do your washing on. And, you know, it's just depressing for most people to see that. And then she's up at 3 o'clock in the morning baking broccoli bread. And, you know, delicious. It's actually... Yeah. You know, that is not really practical. And also, it's okay for you doing that and being a bit selfish about nutrition, but it doesn't involve either your family or your wider community. So I think it's about introducing food back into nutrition.
Right, absolutely. And as we're on this topic now, eating well has been at the forefront of people's minds for a long time, as you've just pointed out to us. What have been the main factors behind this kind of awakening of people in general and kind of saying, you know, we should be actually looking at this and we should be able to identify problems within people's food or their diets and then possible solutions and then in turn improve their health? What have been the main factors for this awakening?
I think there has been an awakening, which I think is good. But as I say, I think also in that awakening, you can lose something, if that makes any sense, which is people are very concerned about nutrition, but in a way it's much, much, much more simple than it looks, which is people have really lost their confidence around nutrition. And it's like you need an expert to tell you what to do. You know, it's plainly absolutely ridiculous that, you know, years ago we were told to eat margarine because it was so-called healthy. Well, you know, you just look at this stuff and you know that you wouldn't even put it in your car. So, we probably knew that in our hearts. And it's about keeping that instinct at the forefront of people's eating. So this book, I suppose, hopes to address that kind of like, yes, you need the structure, but by the way, you probably know more than you think. It's really about eating real food. Yes, there's sort of a bit more to it than that, but in this awakening and people realizing that the nutrition is at the foundation of health. I mean, I'm sure that's what's at the bottom of it, but at the same time, not losing sight of the fact that nutrition or food is about sharing. It's about community. It's about other things just than the molecules and kind
right,
of atoms
of course,
of
yeah.
food, you know. So I hope that kind of answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, universally, I think the most shared tradition in any part of the world will be sitting around a table and enjoying a meal. And I think everyone can really relate with that. And it feeds into what you were saying about to being part of a community as well, which is a fantastic thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is, you know, I think we've got to this point, especially in the West, where we're sort of, you know, we're kind of doing these things in a solitary way. So we're sort of, and it's sometimes we can become so faddy and kind of reductionist about nutrition. We're just making our own meals. You know, you can have families who are making different meals for every single member of the family. That is no longer about what food and nutrition actually is about. So it's this balance, delicate balance between, yes, making nutrition serve you, but also you being kind of you serving the nutrition and the food at the same time. It's a two-way street, philosophically speaking, you know. So it's really giving people the power back to say, you know what, guys, you know much more than you think. Yes, I've been a nutritionist for almost 20 years. And of course, I've learned a few upgrades and hacks and tricks in that. I'm not going to keep those from you, obviously. But at the same time, you know, we have a duty of care to share that with everybody, not just to keep it to ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And my next question is a bit of a two-parter. So I'll start at the top and then we'll see how it goes. And the first part of that question is, you know, today we often find that we don't have the energy to actually keep up with life. And of course, there's various reasons for that. Everything from a frantic, you know, workplace to perhaps a lot of responsibilities, traveling, technology, all of these things. And in terms on the kind of science part of nutrition, How does eating well change this? Because I often find that if I do let it slip, it does end up affecting me negatively, and just the energy isn't there. So what are the real sort of science-based facts behind this?
Well, I think if we're looking for the structure of the book, as I say, one of the structures is all about that energy equation. So It is all about how balancing blood sugar or balancing insulin is key to us understanding how we can balance the energy. So, I think the thing is we've been so caught up in a calories argument. And of course, calories make up somewhat of a discussion around nutrition. But it's in the West, certainly, it's all around this energy balance and an energy equation around calories, when it's probably around metabolism, which sounds a bit highfalutin, but just to say that hormones will act in the body to either negatively or positively affect outcomes. And if you eat sweet, fluffy and white food, you will crash the hormones and you'll crash the insulin, crash all sorts of other hormones, leptin and all sorts of other mechanisms in the body. So we in the book it gives a sort of clear structure of, okay, you know, this is what you need to do to balance your blood sugar, and that is your first structure. From a science point of view, you know, of course nutritional science teaches us that, and we shouldn't dismiss the science part of eating, but at the same time eating's been done for millions of years, so we shouldn't dismiss that wisdom. So it's also a marrying, I suppose, of intelligence, which is where the science comes in, versus wisdom, which is where the tradition and our instinct comes in to food.
Great. And the second part, I suppose, following on from that, is that, you know, in today's way of life, as you say, especially here in the West, we're absolutely bombarded by various different types of information, by media, by you know, food outlets themselves, in whatever kind of, you know, food production it may be. How can we cut through the noise and make choices that matter? Now, of course, the first step would be get the book. But what could we actually do to kind of start this journey and drown out this noise?
Well, in the book, I think importantly, obviously it's called strategic eating, but a part of that is about structure. So really you have to go back to structure to solve the strategic problem, if that makes any sense, which is, you know, often a lot of us are time poor. That's really where the problem lies. So of course we're hoodwinked and sucked into something that looks wholly convenient. I mean, why would you cook a shepherd's pie from scratch when you can buy it and it looks really convincing and it's got a picture of Farmer Giles on the cover, and you know, on the pack, and you think, oh, that somebody must have made that by themselves, you know, and we're sort of hoodwinked into believing that as well. So, you know, in terms of us trying to save time, we're tempted, you know, really tempted to take shortcuts, you know. So I was at my brother's last night, you know, I'm staying up in London to see you guys tonight, and you know, my sister-in-law's been working, my brother's been working all day, so the choice is go to a shop and buy some made fish cakes, you know. And you know, that's with vegetables and all the rest of it, but actually it's the time that's prevented them from actually, you know, getting, you know, my sister-in-law's been really busy. It's not a criticism. It's not a criticism, Ali. But it's to say that that's the structure there. That's what prevented that from happening. And I think it's with all of us that prevents us from actually doing the best by our nutrition. If we could solve that issue, and if you go back kind of in that in the structure, it's like going backwards to say, okay, so what is it in my life that's preventing me from doing this? Well, my life is overflowing. So what can you throw off that kind of balloon? You know, if you were a balloon and you were kind of weighed down by all this, the duties of modern life, what could you kind of chuck out to sort of say, okay, well, I can start to grasp some of this time back. So therefore you're then saying, right, so what's the planning for my food? Okay, I need to plan that. And it sounds kind of, what you call it, kind of too structured in a way. But in that structure becomes liberation, you know? It becomes that you can make better choices. So once you get that piece in, you're able to say, okay, well, where am I going to shop? Because if you are, if you haven't got the time, then obviously you're going to go to supermarkets and you're going to buy packaged foods. But can you shop differently? Can you find the time to shop differently? You know, where are you going to claw that time from? Without that being solved, you know, I think it's very difficult to solve the problem of eating well. You're always going to have to compromise by buying packaged foods. You know, if you are buying packaged foods, already the nutrition and food is compromised. You know, the hard message is it's real food. By and large, I mean, take the by and large out, it's, you know, cooked yourself. And that's the hard message for most people, because we don't have the time. So time is, I always say nutrition is a four-letter word. Time. Yeah,
absolutely. Now, to kind of tie everything that we've talked about today, can you perhaps give our listeners three tips on how they can start implementing positive nutrition starting tomorrow? You know, where do we begin?
Well, you know, and I sound like a bit of a stuck record, but the first point you need to sort of take in is about the blood sugar. So I referred to it kind of in passing to say, you know, avoid sweet, fluffy and white food, which is basically processed food. Go for thick, fibrous and protein and fat food, you know, so-called good fats. So you're actually eating real food. So, you know, if you want to save yourself a tenner, you know, that's basically part of it. But the second thing would be eat breakfast. You know, you can take little upgrades by looking at pushing breakfast a little later, pushing dinner a little earlier, so that you're eating within a restricted window of eating. That's sort of intermittent fasting idea. But don't do that unless the blood sugar's balanced. I think the book lays out nicely that it's got, look, if you know everything there is to know about nutrition, I think there's everything, there's something for everybody in it, because they have got this sort of idea of sort of like, oh, there's an upgrade if you've done all that. But if you're starting at the beginning, then you must balance the blood sugar. The second point you must do is you must have breakfast, and the commercial cereals just don't work if you're trying to get energy out of that. They just don't work. So don't have them, you know, it crash and burn the blood sugar. However tempting, or whatever people tell you, or whatever the advertising seems to tell you, you know, you really need to invest in that breakfast. That changes everything. And I've seen that over 20 years, you know, that just that one piece of advice, because it's so difficult to do that breakfast piece. It's so difficult to change. Once you've solved that piece, then it's so easy to do the rest, you know. And the third thing is really about that structural thing around time, which is it's all in the planning. And that takes time and practice. And do you know what? I still haven't sussed it. There's weeks I go past where it's rubbish and I don't plan at all. And sometimes I do, and it's marvelous. So, you know, it's not about criticizing people or about being perfect or any of those things. It's always about evolution, not revolution. You know, you start gently, and you make these small changes, and in that becomes something really wonderful, which is upgraded energy to do something with your life outside your work. So you become this passionate advocate, you become you live outside your work, as opposed to being, you know, that famous thing, work-life balance. You think, hang on a minute, isn't it all life? So why not unify that work-life balance and do something called life? And I really think nutrition and food is that key that gives you that energy.
Great, perfect advice there for our listeners. And the last question, Kate, I want to ask you is the one I ask actually anyone that comes on the podcast, and that's, what are you currently reading?
What am I currently reading? I'm reading, I'm a passionate historian, so my first degree was history, economic history and politics, before I did nutrition. So I'm reading something called Dadland, which is an amazing, I'm reading two things actually, but that's really what struck me is Dadland. And it's about somebody who discovers that their dad has been in the Secret Service during the war, but unfortunately he's losing his mind, so she has to be like a detective trying to find out what his role was. And I don't know why I love that, but beautifully written. I'm afraid I can't remember the author, but beautifully written and very poignant. And I think in history, you know, we learn from our past and we can create our future from that. And so I think that even applies to nutrition. I'm always really fascinated by history of nutrition as well, funnily enough. So yes, great. I love that book.
Wow. For our listeners, if that sounds interesting to you, there will be a link in the description below where you can go and you can check it out as well. But with that, I would like to thank you very much, Kate, for joining us today on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much.
And of course, for our listeners, if you enjoyed our conversation today, there will be links in the description where you can go and you can check out more about positive nutrition. And of course, Kate as well. There will be social media links and profiles for you to get in touch with. We always love hearing your feedback. So please do not hesitate to let us know what you think about today's podcast. And as always, I would like to thank you very much for joining us. It's always an absolute pleasure and privilege to have you with us on these conversations, and you can reach to us on social media at Lid Radio, of course, and we very much look forward to seeing you next week.